Thank you, Michael. Also, would like to thank Leo. He set me up pretty good for some of this. Some of the information he developed, we're going to put to practical use in this. I did want to recognize my co-authors, Dr. Gene Stevens, in the audience. He'll be answering any hard questions for you today. So, and Matt Ryan and Daniel Walker, two of our research associates. Do need to apologize a little bit. When I was putting this together, cotton was a little bit better in price. So it turns out I changed my title a little bit. We're gone from profitable potassium soil management to just potassium soil management at this point. So I hope this trend doesn't continue in the future. The one thing I did want to point out about our study is it's an 8-year study. We're in the second year of it, and we have not done a very extensive statistical review of it yet. So a lot of what I'm going to be presenting today is without statistics, but it does have a feel for the research that we're doing and the direction that we're going. And maybe it'll develop some questions in your mind and give you some ideas about where we need to go and where you need to go with your soils. Our recommendations for Missouri and cotton, potassium, I work at the soils testing lab in Portageville. And basically, we have three components that we base our recommendations on. One is a target level, crop removal, and then buildup. Wanted to go through each of those a little bit and expand upon those. Our critical level is based upon CEC. Our critical level is 220 pounds of potassium found per acre, plus 5 times CEC. So we're going to recommend more potash on a clay soil than we do on a sand soil. Apologize to Charlie a little bit there. I've cleaned up my graph where he didn't clean up his yesterday, and he had a lot of points on there, and I've kind of boiled them down to what I have there. Where's my pointer there? See, have I totally? Oh, that way. Okay. What we do typically in soil test calibration is develop a relationship between amount of nutrient found and the relative yield, and then plot these points on a graph here. And if you get on the left-hand side here, you'll notice that the graph is very steep, meaning that for each incremental unit of potash that you add, you get more yield. Whereas on the right-hand side, the graph is relatively flat, meaning that if you add more potash, you don't get more yield. Somewhere in there, there's a break point, and we define that as the critical level. If you're on the left-hand side, adding more potash gets you more yield. If you're on the right-hand side, adding more doesn't. And that's the critical level. The next one is crop removal, and that's simply how much of the nutrient is removed with the harvest. It's calculated by yield goal times nutrient removal by the unit of the yield. For cotton, in our system, we figure that you're going to remove 16 pounds of K2O per bale. Now, that would change if you're in a stripper system and you're removing more burrs and whatnot. Maybe that would be a higher number. But for ours, in a picker system, we use 16 pounds per bale. In our system, we figure it takes 5 pounds of removed K2O to lower our soil test by 1 pound per acre. And that's a fairly common relationship. Buildup is extra fertilizer added above crop removal to increase low and medium soils testing. So they're above the target level. And it's essentially the opposite or the flip side of the coin from crop removal. In our system, we can allow you to select a 1-year, a 4-year, or an 8-year buildup. In some of the private labs, they have a standard 4-year buildup. Our default is 8 years. So trying to directly compare soil test recommendations, an 8-year buildup will give you a lower recommendation than a 4-year buildup. So we run into some kind of a conflict with the private labs in terms of the amounts that we're recommending. And in our system, and we do this for an average soil, it takes 5 pounds of applied K2O to raise the soil test level by 1 pound. Question would be, why build up soil K? Potassium is rather expensive these days. Why would you want to build it up to have more than you need out there? And the answer is it goes back to the critical level characterization. And if your soils test on this side here, you know, you're going to have to do something. To get maximum yields, you got to apply more K. But if you're over here, what'd I do there, Michael?
I don't know.
There we go. But if you're over on the right side of the graph, you have some options over there. Say you test above the critical level, and potash prices go very high. You can afford to sit out a year and not apply that expensive potash and still maintain your yields. Or say you have a wet year and you're not physically able to get in the fields in a timely manner. You still can draw on the soil K and still maintain your yields. But that's only if you're to the right side of our critical level. So that's why you might want to build up potash levels higher than you need them, to have some money in the bank. It's not a perfect banking account, but to have some reserves that you could draw upon in times where they're not so good. What our build-up equations in our system are listed there, and they're based upon the desired soil test level and the observed soil test level, and related back to the number of years. And given that formula, you could calculate the amount of buildup extra potash that is calibrated to our soil test recommendations to achieve that buildup. Dr. Stevens and I had some questions about how this buildup concept worked for cotton and other crops too. So we developed a research program that we could investigate that. Really, we wanted to evaluate the effects of K buildup on cotton yields. Also, when we started this process, we wanted to look at phosphate also, but we could not find areas in southeast Missouri that were low in phosphate, so we stuck to potash instead. We also wanted to evaluate our buildup equations used in our soil fertility programs. And we looked at two distinct soil types down there, a Dundee silt loam at Wardell, Missouri, and a Malden fine sand located at Clarkton, Missouri. Our materials and methods, randomized complete block, and this is a small plot evaluation, two different locations. Our buildup treatments, either no fertilizer or N-only checks, and then we had our buildup programs lasting from 1 year to 8 years. The important thing to remember about all of our buildup treatments is at the end of 8 years, we're going to have applied the same amount of K to all treatments. And it just depends on how you decided to apportion that K during the season. Dr. Stevens likes to say it's like that Prestone commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. Do I apply it all at once or gradually over the 8 year time? And the one thing that we did is we tried to keep track of our soil test levels by collecting 6-inch composite soil samples in the spring of each year. We're in the second year of this study, so I'll only be showing you the results from following the first year's soil sampling. Started out with a graph like this, and this represents the 2 year average cotton yields averaged over both soil types for 2 years. And from this graph that we can see the check on the far right there, ranging to the 1 year program on the far left, there was a decrease in yields as we applied less potash out there, or applying more potash got us more yield. But that was for an average of two soils. We wanted to see if there's differences between these soils because no one farms an average soil. First, looking at our silt loam, we had a, a relationship where the buildup period, the shorter the buildup period, the more potash we applied up front, the greater the yields we got, and they trailed off as we applied less during the season. And this was true for both years we've studied so far. So it looks like we have some kind of problem with our rates here, in that we should be applying enough potash in all buildup periods, even the 8 year, to maximize yields, and we haven't accomplished that. So we've got some problem with our scheme here so far. Turning to the sands, our sands tend to be not related like that. The one-year buildup and the eight-year buildup or the tend to be about the same level of magnitude. So we think we're doing something right in terms of the sands. We're applying the right amount to maximize our yields, even in our longer-term buildup programs. One thing that we did want to look at was soil test levels for our buildup programs, and this is after the first year. We have the silt loams at the top and the fine sands listed at the bottom there. The one thing that I wanted to put in was our target levels for our silt loams, in this case, was about 320, 325. And we can see that, as expected, our buildup program, our one-year buildup program, took our silt loam soil test levels above our target levels. So we think we're on track there. And just looking at our data, I think that our two-year buildup program, when we test that again next spring, we'll probably be approaching or above that target level. So we think we're increasing soil potash on our silt loams at an appropriate level. The sands, however, even our one-year target buildup was below the target. So we have a problem there, or an inability for us to build up soil potash on the fine sands. One of the questions that we had was, where did that potash go? Potash could be either fixed by soil minerals or leached below our sampling depth. We didn't think that it was being fixed in the sands, so we wanted to see if maybe it was being leached with depth. So we went out and collected some soil samples at 6-inch intervals down to a 48-inch depth, and you can see that the nitrate had a similar trend. The P tended to decrease with depth, but the potash was low at the surface and reached a maximum about 24 inches down. So what we hypothesized has gone on is that the potash has leached down, and depending upon if the roots are able to access potash at that depth, would be available or unavailable. So we have some differences between the way that our soils reacted to potash applications. Our conclusions, after 2 years, averaged both soils, yields decreased as the buildup period increased. But who farms an average soil? We need to break that out for soil types. In our loams, our one-year buildup, it increased our soil test levels above our target level, very pleased with that, and our subsequent years appear to be on track. However, our yields decreased as the buildup period increased. So we seem to have a problem with the amount of potash that we're applying in some of our greater or longer-term buildup years. The sands, the one-year buildup was below the target level still, and soil leaching or insufficient K application. Given our soil sampling, I think it's leaching below our soil sampling depth. And yields were not affected by buildup periods, so we've done something right there in terms of the amount we recommend to maximize production. The long and the short of it, our main conclusion is that we have a lot more work to do at the University of Missouri Soil Testing System. We have the capacity, given the questions we ask on our soil information sheets, the information that our producers submit with their soil samples, to inquire about the soil type. We don't use that, and I think what we'll need to do in the future, if we're going to make better use of our build-up concept, is make it more specific to each soil type. And that's kind of a work in progress, and that's where I'm at with that one right now. Having said that, I would turn to questions.
Any questions for David and what they're doing at Delta Center?
She did a good job.
Yeah, I must have answered all them questions. Sure.
We go over 3 or 4 years.
Well, that would depend.
What I'm seeing, and that's what he reported back in the 80s.
That would depend on your crop removal and some other factors.
Yeah, but of course, that's still
thrown in there too. I don't know. In our system, back in the 80s, we used to have a four-year standard buildup built into our system, and we didn't worry about the buildup concept so much. But then commodity prices were low and fertilizer prices were relatively high, so our producers were having a hard time spending the money to achieve those buildup goals. So we backed it off to an eight-year buildup. And I think, you know, maybe unwittingly in your system, you have some kind of a buildup factor thrown in there too. Yes, sir. Well, all of ours is in seed and lint, and I did not develop those numbers, and I think that we probably need to take a closer look at those and do some more evaluation of that. We've undertaken a program where we're doing N, P, and K removal on grain, and we purposely did not include cotton in that particular study, and I think that's something that we need to do. And I think it would really depend on percentage of trash, you know, if you got some extra hulls in there and that kind of stuff too, how much was removed with the lint. Okay, I see what, yeah. And
like
we.
Right now, we just have tables,
yeah.
Yield and it has a constant multiplier or whatever that
figures. Well, what he's saying is as your turnout numbers change, and I hadn't.
That varies with nitrogen.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? David? Appreciate it.
It's good to hear. Your head is good to hear.